hosts, Joni and Mike, plan to delve into the unknown paranormal world in hopes of uncovering the unknown and the unheard. Welcome to EVP Spirit Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Egypt Valley Paranormal's Spirit Talk Radio. Hope you've all had a great day.
Yes, beautiful.
Yes, I'm Joni, and this is Mike, my co-host, Mike. Glad to have you with us tonight.
Hello.
Oh, my. Anyway, yeah, how the weather appears great. How is it down there for you guys? Is the river clean? Does it look clean and blue?
No, no river is ever blue. It's green and clean, I guess you could say, and it's flowing
really
nicely.
Yeah, I've seen it kind of blue once in a while. Down, it seems like down below Hannibal, down that area.
Well, yeah, probably.
Once you're past all the plants, I guess.
Yeah.
All the smokestacks and all that stuff.
Yeah, did you know that the water from our town comes out of the river?
Yeah.
Isn't that disturbing?
Wheeling's does too.
I know.
Well, they have plants and stuff, and, you know.
I know.
You're like, certain times they're like, don't get in the river. Don't eat the fish. You get out of the river. You're like, why? That is a little scary.
Well,
they keep an eye on that, though, I hope.
Oh, my. I don't know.
I don't know either. But speaking of Wheeling, do you remember, what's the radio station? We were on AM radio, and I always want to say it's Eagle, and it's not Eagle, because that's what I listen to.
No.
What's that radio station we were on? What is it?
1140. WPXI?
I know there's X or something. WXXY or something?
XXY.
Anyway. Okay. Remember when we were on there, and we were on there the same night with Brook County Paranormal?
Yeah, right after they found the remains of resort, yeah.
Aspen Manor, yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't exactly know what all happened with that, but I got a, I'm not going to use his last name, we just call him Bob. I got an email from Bob a couple days ago, because he'd been on the site, and he was a member of that group when all that happened, but he was asking about coming up to Salem Cemetery. And he looks at our website all the time, and he wanted to make sure, you know, and talk to trustees so he didn't get in trouble and so forth and so on.
Right.
So he told me that he now has a group of his own. There's four of them, and it's called Kirkwood Paranormal out of Bridgeport.
Okay.
So we've been talking back and forth and talking about getting together and doing an investigation together and maybe doing organizing together, maybe do like a benefit. Suggested, you know, autism, of course.
Absolutely.
He sounds real receptive to that, and like he'd be some good people to hook up with. They're very serious about what they're doing and stuff.
Cool.
So one of these days, this summer.
The Egypt Cemeteries. I know, it's a nice summer evening.
Mm-hmm. And I figured since they're down there, they can probably access buildings.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
In Bridgeport, I'm not sure exactly.
Oh, yeah, the whole up and down the river. Yeah, Wheeling.
Oh,
that'd be awesome.
I forgot to tell you. A girl that I work with, I have a picture for you. Insane. It's the outside of her mother's house. It's a duplex. And the one side she rents out, but they can't rent it out because it's so, people will stay for a month or two and leave because it's so active there.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, on the outside of their house, there is a face and a shadow. So I'm going to send it off to you, and you can look at it.
Okay.
And see what you think. I've looked at it. I've had a couple other people that I know look at it. Oh, my Lord. Sorry.
Match.
So anyway. Sorry, people. Toy dog. Get in there. You know, we've had people look at it, and there's no explanation for it at all.
Okay.
So I will ship it off to you. It's clear as day. It's a face on the side of a house. And
yeah. Okay. Yeah, I want to see that. This other guy sent me one this morning. All the way sent yesterday. He wanted to know if I wanted to look at it, and he sent one from what they call the Witch's Circle up in Salem. And it looked, I don't know if it's Salem Cemetery or Circle Cemetery, actually, but I'm trying to place where he is. It's some younger kid. Because I don't really know of a Woods' Circle. So, you know, all these legends about Egypt Valley and stuff. And
Woods'
he
Circle?
Says, Witch's Circle.
Witch's Circle.
No idea. So I'm trying to place where it is by looking at the picture, but you can't because it's kind of close. And there's something on it, but I'm not thinking it's odd looking, but I don't think it's paranormal.
The Witch's Circle.
I have no idea.
Is that the, remember the legend of the witch on the outside of the Salem Cemetery gates? Because they wouldn't bury witches inside the gates.
Well, yeah, that's
so
true.
Like,
right
on the perimeter of the cemetery.
There is that one grave right outside the fence there, you know, towards the road, down over the road.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we tried to get, when Jade and Youngstown came down, she got a bunch of pictures of it, and we can't make out what it's so old, you just can't make out what the stone says, because she must have took 20 pictures. We just couldn't get it in focus good enough to see what it's actually saying, because it's so worn. But, you know, people are getting out, I think, with the warm weather now, maybe they're getting out and taking pictures and looking at stuff, and that's awesome. I'm so glad to hear that.
And then there's we need to try to arrange for something for the prisoner cemetery down here.
White Gate, it's called, I guess.
Yeah.
White Gate Cemetery.
Well, there's that one, and there's the one that I told you guys about that is unmarked. It's just it's on a random road or at a turn, and you drive around, and there you see it. It's just like white crosses everywhere. There's no name, there's no gates, there's no nothing. You have to go across a little footbridge into it, but it's just off a random road out in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did tell me about that. But I remember reading about the White Gate Cemetery because this woman had that put there especially. I don't know if she must have even donated the land, maybe, for the prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
A long, long
time
ago.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, and then there's the big cemetery down here has the supposed witch's grave that has the big slab on top of it, and no one can find it. So we need to. Roy's brother knows where. Supposedly knows where the grave is, so if he can remember, he's going to take me down to it, and then I would like to maybe do a little investigation down here with that. See what that's all about.
Maybe
give
you something. That's about all I've got. Actually, it's new.
What about your trip to the?
Oh, my trip to the...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Emily and I went to the pet store this morning because I made her get up early, which doesn't go over well anyhow, and so she, like, slept all the way over, like, all 20 miles. And we got over there and went in, and there was a lot of people in there milling around, and there was this couple, probably in their early, late 30s, early 40s, kind of hard to tell, but they were very strange, and they were real happy, and they were real loud, and they were... You didn't want to be around them too much because they had an odor. They were just really odd. So everybody was trying to kind of steer clear, you know, and like, trying to ignore them. So they went over to check out, and she's up there looking at the fish, you know, where the checkout is, and that woman was going on there, just talking and real loud and stuff. Just everybody's like just trying to stay away from them. And there was, she's like, hey, you know, I didn't get much sleep last night. And I'm like, Emily, come on, those people might be crazy. Please don't, you know. So they just kind of looked at her, and then they kind of smiled, and they left. So we get our fish in our little aquarium, and we're heading out to the van. And we're walking towards the van, and I hear a car. It's going, run, 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 run. This car won't start, you know. And I'm like, oh, my God, somebody's car won't start. That's terrible. And so we get to the van, and I realize the car that won't start is on the other side of my van. So she gets in, and I go put stuff in there, and I go around getting my. And guess who's parked beside me?
The people.
I think they're on meth. Okay. You ever see the documentaries where they have like people on meth?
Yeah.
I mean, not IV necessarily, but you know they look funky, and
yeah.
I'm like, oh, you know, because the guy's face out, and he's looking at me, and I go to get in the van, and I look down, I thought, well, should I offer to call somebody? And I'm like, I looked at him, and he looked at me, smiled, and he looked like Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Oh, my.
I know, and I'm like, no, I don't. I just went, hi, and got in the van. And I'm like, no, they can fend for themselves, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I'm like, Emily, you can't go in there and say stuff like that. She said, well, they're annoying. I said, I know they're annoying, but that was annoying. You know?
Just
oh, I swear to God. Yeah, that's Emily. But anyway, yeah, that was our trip to the pet store. So anyway, Mike, do you want to do a commercial or something? And we can get Chris Magard on the line. He is our guest tonight from Tri-State Paranormal of Northern Kentucky.
Sounds good to me.
Okie dokie.
All right.
And we'll be back in a few then.
Tune in to Studio B every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Miami Town Ghost Talk. Hosts Mike and Jeff, authors of Haunted Cincinnati and Southwest Ohio, plan to delve into the subject of ghosts, UFOs, and cryptozoology, talking to investigators, authors, and so much more on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Have you been to Bobby Mackey's and had paranormal experiences? Do you think your story is good enough to be told in a book? Do you have pictures that you think you have caught spirits in? If so, contact me, Crystal, at CHRISTEL@NKYPS.com. Your story just might be published in a book.
Are you a paranormal radio show host? Your podcast not getting enough hits, and you want more? There is a brand new solution for you. A free podcast directory for your paranormal listening needs. Visit Parapods at www.parapods.com. That's www.parapods.com.
Are you hearing bumps in the night? We'll help you find the answers you desperately need. Get your paranormal radio fix for the week. Tune in to Para Investigators Radio with Kurt and Bill. Every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's each and every Monday night at 9 Eastern in Studio A. Only on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Join the crew from NKYPS for Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern, kicking off the Paranormal Powerhouse lineup. Mike, Matt, and Crystal turning up the heat with a variety of guests from the paranormal community. There'll be fun, laughter, and a bit of information dealing with the paranormal issues. Join us every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Back. Hi, everybody, and we're back, and we have Chris Magard from Tri-State Paranormal of Northern Kentucky with us. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We are doing just pretty good.
Doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chris, why don't you give us a little bit of information about yourself and get this thing started?
Sure. I've actually been researching and investigating in the paranormal fields probably about 28 years now. started out in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
Covered a lot of Southern California, parts of Northern California, Nevada, Arizona. Moved out here to Northern Kentucky about 5.5 years ago. Started my very first team, official team out here, a year and a half ago. And it's actually a pretty great team. Myself, I'm just a very open-minded person. I'm not anybody that who likes to boast about himself. I'm not anything like that. I'm just a really down-to-earth person, and I'm always looking for new ways and new techniques from different people and different teams in this field to explore and go further with this field.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How'd you end up in Kentucky?
My sister's out here, and
okay.
I had enough of Southern California.
Oh, really? How come?
Oh, yeah. Well, besides the traffic, the gangs, the smog, the cost of living, drugs everywhere, you know, you always got to watch your back. If you don't make $60,000 a year or more, you're struggling.
Wow. I've never been there. I've never been any farther west than St. Louis.
I'm going to Vegas this year, so.
I miss Vegas. I used to do Vegas trips every other weekend.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. It was only a three-hour drive.
That'd be awesome, I guess.
Well, maybe I could probably go one time. I don't know if I like all those lights and things and noise and I don't know. I know you're a city person. I'm kind of turning the opposite way, I think.
Well, you know, the fun part about Vegas is that, you don't have to go there and gamble. There's so many other things to see and have fun. There's stuff for kids now, and it's really family-oriented. It's a lot of fun.
True. Yeah, I did see that. They have, like, indoor amusement parks and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I want to tell you, too, before I forget, and this isn't exactly paranormal, we were coming home from school the other day. My son had the radio on, and he just cranks it. I mean, I like it loud, but he just cranks it. And the song comes on, and I'm like, that song kind of sounds familiar, but it doesn't. And I'm like, listen to this song. I said, that sounds like Alice in Chains. I'm like, but that's not Alice in Chains, because I never heard that song before. And then I remembered you told me they had a new album out. And I heard this song, and I'm like, wow, that's the one you must have been talking about. Something about my brain. I can't remember the name of the song.
Oh, it's a new Alice in Chains.
Check My Brain. Yeah,
Check
new
My
Alice
Brain.
In Chains. Yeah, Check
it's
My
awesome.
Brain. It is. It's very good. It's because then I'm like, that's who that is. And I listened to it, and it is very good. It's not the same, but it's very, very good. And I really, you were talking about that.
The whole new album is amazing. The new singer is really good. The guitar player, Jerry Cantrell, says it's not a replacement of Layne Staley. This is a new chapter in Alice in Chains. It's not trying to continue. It's just a new chapter. And the new guy is just amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to that over the weekend. Yeah, because I have to respect them because they waited a long time. You know, a lot of bands would just replace them and just went right on out and Mike Starr, too, because he's not with them anymore. You know, the guy that played bass. And terrible.
He's actually, they got everybody back. The original bass player. Original
that
bass
would
player.
Make me happy.
Yeah, it's everybody original except, of course, Layne Staley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew. I love Dr. Drew. And he's heroin for 20 years. He was just so messed up. And you could tell he's such a good person. And he went from there to Sober House, and he was starting to pick up the guitar and play again, trying to keep himself straight. So I was so hoping that something good for him would happen, because I guess he was the last one to see Layne alive, and he just, like, walked out. They had a fight, and he walked out and left him. And 2 weeks later, they find him dead.
Yeah, actually,
he had a lot of big burden to carry.
Yeah, Layne Staley was found by his sister in his apartment up there in Washington State.
Yep.
And he was already 2 weeks dead by the time she found him.
Such a gifted person, that's sad.
Oh, he was.
Yeah. But anyway, okay, I just had to get that out of my system. I remember you talking about, I love Alex J. That's like one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, so do I. So, Jenny was telling me telling about the device that you have that places a grid, that you've tried that places a grid out for EVPs.
Actually, it's not a device it's not actually a device I have. But it's, I was invited by a gentleman named Mitch Silverstein. One of the most brilliant people, unknown brilliant people, in this field. And he created this device. It's called a quadraphonic EVP setup. And what it is four very high-end audio mics that are set up through a room. And he had the software built on his computer that once they're dialed in this perfectly squared room, they will be able to tell you where an EVP actually comes from in that room if you capture one. and they can pinpoint exactly where it's at, and they can tell if it's an investigator or an actual EVP.
Wow.
Yeah, that's something.
And I tell you what, go ahead.
No, so does it like have a readout? Does it have like a, you know, because you said something about a grid. I didn't know if it was like a grid that you looked at and you could see it or.
Actually, you could see it on his computer.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's actually so in the process.
Oh, okay.
So you've been doing this, you said, for 28 years. So, I mean, are you, have you, do you use, like, electronic devices when you started, or is this just, like, something new you've been trying to implement into the investigations?
Well, when I first started, I used what available tools were then, or available back then.
Right.
Of course, tape recorders
mm-hmm.
and monstrous VHS camcorders and regular, I used to use Polaroids, which I still like to use.
Mm-hmm.
Polaroid Instamatics, I still like to use them today
mm-hmm.
because you can't falsify anything with those.
Right.
Yeah, and it's so hard to find film. We used them last year and had to go to eBay to get it. I wouldn't even believe what I paid for. I mean, it was always expensive anyway, but what they were you were paying for Polaroid film anymore, if you can find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we actually, one of our investigators, she uses the disposable cameras, and she's had some amazing luck with those.
Mm-hmm. That's true, too.
So, you know, it, sometimes the old stuff's the best, actually. You know, we, in our investigation group, we do a lot of things more spiritual than actual technologically advanced, I guess. So do you think that maybe the technology is helping, or do you think it might be a hindrance to some of the investigators?
I think a lot of people today, it's just my belief, I think a lot of people today are starting to, I mean, it's great to have a lot of digital and electronic devices because it actually can help us further, advance further to try to tap into this unseen world that we don't really know truly about. Everything that we do know about is based on theories because yet to be, we don't yet have proof of the existence of an afterlife. I mean,
right.
Full on, like we can't open the door and see into their world yet. From our world. So I think a lot of the devices that we're using today is a great step towards it, but I think some of the devices we're using is overkill, and you're going beyond and above, and you're not going to actually capture. That's why you got to learn how to dial in things and set your audio at certain levels. You got to learn where the human voice level, basic human voice is, decibels are at, and then what's below that and above it.
Right.
And that's what this EVP experiment was at the Shanley Hotel up in Napanock, New York,
mm-hmm.
by that Mitch conducted. And he explained it and broke it down, and I agreed with everything he had there. And when he showed me how this device worked, we zeroed in on an EVP right in front of my face.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had video to back it up. Because you could see on the computer where I was standing as a marker on his software, and then you could see where the EVP was right in front of me. And we backed it up with video, and you could see my mouth was not moving. I was just sitting there being dead quiet. And even on our regular digital voice recorders, I was dead quiet. And then you hear the voice in front of me.
Wow.
It was like in my face.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
go ahead.
Actually, if you want to find Mitch, he's with, he has his own paranormal group. If you give me a chance here, I'll pull it up real quick and I'll shoot you his info and all of his experiments that he does. He's truly amazing.
Yeah, because I've never heard of him. But, you know, that's often the case. The ones that are doing the really good research you don't hear of.
But he's a really humble person, extremely humble. He doesn't care about the whole fame and you know, the notoriety. And I told him, I said, Mitch, you just don't understand what you got. You got something just downright amazing. And the things that you come up with is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
He has also this other device he made. It's a 3D full spectrum IR camera. which shoots it shoots in full spectrum with IR lighting, and it shoots 3D, and it instantly dismisses orbs. Instantly, as soon as you
really?
Take a pit. Yeah, because you can actually break it down, because if you split the 3D image, because there's two sides to it. There's a right and a left on a 3D image. Mm-hmm. And when you split them, when you have the right separate from the left, the orb will be in the right picture, but will not be in the left.
Wow.
And it will show that it's right up on the camera, and it's not in, in the other picture. So
That's handy.
Now here's this link. I'm putting it in the chat box right now.
Okay.
He's truly amazing. If you check out his site and see some of his experiments, he actually has some of the photos from his 3D IR rig.
Okay.
And he talks about the weight pressure planchette for Ouija boards. You know, I'm not big on Ouija boards, but it actually, he made this planchette where if you could tell if someone's pushing too much pressure and trying to push it across the table.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. Huh.
This guy is, and he works with Shannon Sylvia.
Yeah,
Shannon Sylvia came up with the shadow laser, and he works with her and builds the tripods for that. This guy is amazing.
I've never heard of him before. Yeah, I've never even heard the name before, which is, that's amazing.
Well, that's, again,
cool website.
He's not about being known. He's just trying to develop new tools for this field. And everything he comes out with is just amazing. He's a bioengineerist.
Oh, my.
And his son Kevin helps him out, and his son Kevin's 17 years old, and he's going to college for bioengineering. And I just, when I sat and talked with him, met him for the first time, I said, you know what, Mitch, I feel really elementary next to you. You're just amazing.
Just, I can imagine, because that's some brain power going on there.
And he's so humble about it. He doesn't think he's God's gift or anything. He's just very humble.
Well, he's a scientist, and, if you're going to try and try to explain this stuff scientifically, that's a pretty good field to be in to start with.
Mm-hmm.
What got him so interested in it, I wonder?
I forgot that. I remember him and I talking about it, but I really forgot the whole conversation that we had. But he's always been interested in the paranormal for as long as he can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And as he got older, he just started coming up with new stuff, started his own little, him and his son, because that's the only ones that's in his team, him and his son.
Mm-hmm.
And they just brainstorm and come up with new experiments.
So what got you interested in the paranormal?
Well, it started when I lived in Southern California. It was probably around the age of 11, I do believe. We lived down by Huntington Beach, California. And my sister was attacked by what we now know as a malicious entity or a poltergeist.
Oh, my goodness.
And the funny thing is, I've seen so many movies that remind me of what actually happened. And I feel funny telling about this story because there's so many movies that are almost like what happened to my sister. It started one night. It was probably about 2 in the morning. House was locked up, and Mom and Dad were upstairs in their room. Me and my brother were in our room, and my sister was in her room. And we wake up, everybody in the house, to a bloody scream from my sister.
Ew.
Everybody ran into her room, and she had one of those double-stacked water beds with the double layers of drawers underneath,
mm-hmm.
And she used to sleep with her left leg hanging over the bed. She said someone pulled her off the bed,
and
no one broke into the house. All the doors were still locked, no windows broken, no windows opened. The next morning, she had a very huge, large bruise of a man's handprint on her calf.
Oh, my goodness.
And that started it from there. The second thing that we were sitting in the kitchen, it was probably just about between breakfast and lunch, around brunch time, 11 or so. We just, everybody talking, shooting the shit, and I didn't mean to say that.
Okay.
It looked like someone grabbed my sister, literally grabbed her and threw her through the window.
Oh, my goodness.
Good grief.
Yeah. Damn near killed her. And then it started going after everybody else in the house.
Wow.
Good grief.
So did you guys get rid of what was in the house, or did you guys just move?
Well, all the above. We tried to do
one of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never have seen anything like that. We had Bishop Long on last week, and he was, he's of course a demonologist, and he was talking about demons and how dangerous they are. And I'm going, yeah, I know, I hear, you know. But I guess until you actually see something like that, you don't get it, really.
Right.
You know?
Well, we did bring in a priest, and he even said this is not a demonic activity. Because it doesn't, however he meant it at the time, it doesn't have the signs of a demonic activity. He says it's just a very angry entity that's in this house. He blessed me, my parents, the whole family, blessed the house. And it still seemed like it didn't work. Things were getting thrown. Glass was being broke. And my parents said, that's it. We're moving out.
Well, yeah, because isn't strength, from what he said, isn't strength one of the indications that it might be demonic? I mean, that would have to be something awfully strong to toss her like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't know, or he was afraid to say, or whatever, but...
If that was demonic, that would have been my only time I've had a demonic experience, because I have never seen any demonic activity through the years I've been investigating.
No, I would say we haven't either, but that is one of the things that they go by with criteria. That, and, well, I think odor is another big one.
Yeah.
So, and I know you guys, you don't agree with Ouija board. Do you guys do any other kind of, do you believe in any of that? Like, do you ever use dowsing rods or pendulums or anything like that?
Well, we use dowsing rods, and I'm very careful about using those because I don't use those for exact proof. I use them for basically, and I try to tell my team, remember, if we go into a house, there's running water underneath this house, it will pick it up.
Which a lot of people forget. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it was funny. One time, one of our investigators was using a dowsing rod in a bedroom next to a bathroom, and someone went into the bathroom and flushed the toilet, and the dowsing rods went off. And I says, the water line's probably going underneath the bedroom.
Yeah.
So I says, and then we recreated it, and sure enough, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that's been fairly easy to recreate. I think a lot of stuff in the field is so hard to prove because you can't actually recreate a lot of things, no matter how hard you try.
Well, you know,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all right. I guess someone told me once I was a medium or something like that because I used to, when I was a little bit younger, I used to hear a lot of voices and I thought I was going crazy and I went to a doctor and had all kinds of checks. You know, to see if I had some type of schizophrenia or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, because it was kind of trippy. I'd hear voices off and on. And I just tuned it out later on. Maybe I'm a little hypersensitive, but I don't really use that. I am a skeptic, but I'm a skeptic with an open mind, and I try to find proof through technology now, but I try not to do it too much with technology or overkill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
a lot of times your personal experiences, these are the ones that really create the kind of person you're going to be in an investigation. A lot of times, most of the time you have a personal experience, they never get captured. So they are your personal experience, and you can tell everybody under the sun what happened to you, and they're going to be like, yeah, okay, whatever. Well,
picture, or you got a little video, or you got this and that.
Yeah.
It just seems sometimes they're smart enough to let you know they're there without getting caught.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I try to remind everybody, like my investigators, they say, oh, this happened to me. I said, did you capture it on video? Did you capture it on audio? No, but it happened. I said, okay, let me tell you something. If you try to bring that personal experience, which I'm not doubting you, but if you try to take it to the scientific community, they're going to look at you and go, okay, show me the proof.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, from like in our group, I've had several personal experiences, but I know that I can't prove those, so I just use those to build my investigating skills. You know, it makes you more aware.
Yeah,
of what's going
we've kind of got to the point anymore that we know. Okay, we know what we've experienced, and we know what we've caught too. I mean, I'm not disregarding that, but it's almost turned into like a lifestyle now. And it's like a spiritual type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody wants to talk about it, you know, because a lot of people know what we do, and we're like, yeah, and we'll tell them stories. But we just kind of turned it into like, I don't want to say a religion by any means, but just the way we live is like an expression of what we've learned from doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know
what
I'm saying? Like a spirituality or something.
Right.
It's just because you're never going to convince people anyway. I don't care what you find. You could have a picture of Abe Lincoln walking out of his bedroom, and not 100% of people, it's not going to happen.
Right.
It just gets so frustrating. And if they just think about it, so much of it actually makes sense if you do believe in another, you know, dimension or God or whatever you want to believe in. So much of it just makes sense.
Well, I was sitting down with a lady one day, and she's a very religious woman. And I, you know, I believe in God myself, but I don't believe in religion.
I know.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the paranormal. She goes, well, I don't believe in something I don't see. And so my question to her right after that was, so when did you meet God?
Okay, yeah, there you go.
You believe in him, don't you? And she goes, well, that's a different thing. And no, it's not. I said, even in the Bible, it talks about ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Holy Spirit, right off the bat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that comes from just being, I guess, the way you were brought up. Because, I mean, normally people like that were brought up in church, and they were taught that you about the faith and so forth and so on. And it's so much easier to follow that and believe what you've been told in church and what you're supposed to do. It's so much easier than trying to go out yourself and figure it out for yourself. So it's kind of like an easy way out, I think, for people to just say, I go to church and this is what I believe, and that's the end of it.
Right. And, you know, it's like me. And, you know, to go back and touch them with the dowsing rods or pendulums, we do use them, but we use them just like our personal experience, basically a guide where we're going to conduct an audio session, or we're going to place a static cam just to cover that area, because maybe maybe there is something going on there. So let's put something there to see if we can capture anything. We kind of use it as a tool, a guiding tool towards the scientific aspect of everything.
Yeah, you could never use it as data for an investigation, because that just wouldn't fly. It wouldn't be right, really.
Yeah, we have a girl in our group, and she is amazing with the dowsing rods. I mean, she is absolutely amazing. I've watched TV shows and I've seen people use those, and she's just amazing with those. And she gets on and she does it, and we just snap pictures of her. Because usually when she's speaking, her aura changes, the color around her changes. There's rods, there's all kinds of things going on around her to back up the fact that she was standing talking to someone.
Good point, Mike. I forgot about that.
You know, it's just, when you see, I guess when you're in the field and you see things, and you know what they mean. Like, where I work, people know what I do. They want me to tell them stories. Well, did you do this? what did you hear? People don't want to hear you didn't find anything. They don't, you know, once you say, well, we didn't really find anything, they're like, oh, and they're done with you.
That's how it is most of the time,
They don't understand it takes hours or days or, you know, could be months of investigations before you find anything. They automatically assume, since they saw it on television every week, that 1 hour in every week, they found something. But every time we go somewhere, you have to find something. And you can't get people. And I think that's one of the reasons why people, I think it's one of the reasons why the paranormal is so interesting to people right now, because they see it on television. But they don't understand the hours and the time it takes to get into that.
Well, that's not going to last forever. Eventually, they're going to get tired of it, too, because they can only get so far out and so, you know, intense with what you're seeing on TV. Everybody's trying to hype it up there or not. This is more amazing than this was. And that's only going to go so far. And the ones that were in it just because of television or because of, you know, instant gratification, they're going to drop away. And us guys, us old folks who've been doing it for a long time, we're still going to be here.
Right.
Yeah, and I tell a lot of people, you know, because they watch these shows, and they, I've had a few people call me to come investigate their place of residence or business, and they say, and they first start giving me a list of what to bring, thermal imaging camera, a medium. And I, then my, after they give me this list of stuff, then my questions to them, I go, hey, do you watch Ghost Hunters? Do you watch Ghost Hunters? Oh, yeah, I love those. Everything they do, can you bring that? I'm like,
well, they have sponsors, okay? Give them a lot of money.
It says, it's not what you see on TV, and I tell investigators who are trying to get in this field, look, you got to understand, it's television. They're signed to a contract. They have to get ratings. So if that TV station wants something to happen to get ratings, it's going to happen.
Right, exactly.
Right. So, Chris, do you do any type of crypto stuff? Are you guys into that at all? Or do you personally, are you interested in cryptozoology?
I am, actually. I'm very fascinated with it. I'm not as heavy into it as I'd like to be, but I find it very fascinating. And plus, all the new types of animals and stuff that are being discovered almost every year. You know, every year.
Isn't that something? I know.
They're finding new stuff every year, and I find it fascinating.
And to hear you are back to the same thing, where there's no such thing as a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch or a Grassman or whatever, but yet, as you say, they are finding new species every year. And you're back to the same old argument again, you know?
Yeah, they just found that that big, it looks like a cockroach on the bottom of the ocean floor. It was attached to a submarine. Did you see that?
Ooh, that sounds lovely. No.
Yeah, it was an ancient, they call it an isopod.
Is it alive?
It's a crustacean. Yeah, it looks like a big giant millipede cockroach type thing, but it's got claws and teeth and.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope that's way out deep in the ocean, from the shore.
It's really not, because there was a submarine, one of the little mini submersible submarines. They were doing some sort of investigation on the bottom of, like, right off the coast of, I think it was Rhode Island, maybe.
Okay.
Mm. When they came up, the thing had actually attached itself to the submarine. When they came up,
ew,
it flopped out on the, you know, when they pulled it on the boat, it dropped down on the thing.
It flopped right over. Oh, my God.
And it's 2.5 feet long.
Ew.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Anything that sounds like a bug that big just grosses me out.
Go on to Yahoo. I forget what they call it. They call it BART.
BART?
For some reason. Yeah. But if you go on Yahoo, there is a big story about it. And it's
okay. Yeah, I'll look at it, I guess.
It's too hot. It's creepy looking. It looks like a big millipede type thing, but it's got a hard shell.
Well, yeah, because if they're saying arthropod, they were bringing those up in, what's those things when they get compressed into the rocks and the soil, fossils. They've been bringing those up as fossils forever.
Yeah, it looks like something you would see on, like, one of the dinosaur shows. It's creepy.
Wow.
And, you know, there's so much, this world is so vast and huge, it's just unimaginable that people don't believe that there's some other things besides what we see every day.
Well, they just don't think about stuff like that. I believe there's a Jersey Devil, so there. And I would love to go look for the Jersey Devil.
Actually, I did some research on the Jersey Devil, and it was based on a man that was a killer, a murderer.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually based on it. Yeah, it was based on a man who was a murderer, and they called him the Jersey Devil because he was so mean.
Uh-huh.
Actually, if you do a lot of research in the archives about it, you'll actually find out when the story started, and I can't remember from the top of my head right now, but it was actually, I was watching a program, I think it was either on History Channel or Discovery Channel, they were talking about the New Jersey Devil, and they interviewed one of the ladies, I think it was either the daughter or an ex-wife of a man who's actually considered the New Jersey Devil.
Wow.
Huh. Yeah, because the story, of course, you always hear is, you know, mother leads in the 1700s and the 13th child and it flew away and da-da-da-da. And people, I was just watching a show not last night, actually. Oh, Destination Truth?
Truth. Yeah.
Awesome show. They were looking for the Jersey Devil last night, and they of course, they had to do all their research, and people were these pictures for like 200 years, and they also much looked the same.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's really the Pine Barrens, they call it, I think. I guess it's huge. I guess it's over 1 million square miles of nothing but forest.
Right.
Wow.
I think, yeah. Well, there's so many stories about it, just like the Mothman. There's so many stories about that, too. You know, I've come across a lot of stories through my years of research, and, you know, and a lot of them I have found that are childhood, teenage stories that have just built on top of each other, you know, just kept on building and building, and they
like
haven't let it go.
Urban legends, kind of.
Absolutely, and you know, it's just when you actually when it comes down to it, it's just a teenage story. Just like almost every state has a lady in white. Every state
Cry
has
Crybaby Bridge.
Exactly. There's actually one right down the road from me, Crybaby Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like,
well,
wow.
Yeah, there are a lot of those around, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead. I was just going to say about the Bigfoot thing. I mean, I wholeheartedly believe in the Bigfoot because I saw it when I was, you know.
Well, yeah, and you know, that's another thing out of Egypt Valley, and a lot of people now are starting to come forward. That a lot of them have seen our website because we think we have a picture of one, and they've come forward and said, "Well, I saw this and I saw this." Because usually that's what it takes in a small community. Somebody has to say something, and they'll be like, "Well, 5 years ago," but we have seen. Well, we heard. I heard something that I cannot tell you what it was. It was so bizarre, and it was this wood. I come to find out they like tap wood together. They take two like small branches and tap them together. And I didn't even know that when I heard this, and it was rhythmic. It was like tap, tap, tap. And from the Bigfoot hunters like Don Keating and them, and
Jody Cook also.
Yeah, who's going to be on our station. I can't wait. And that's one of the things that they identify these with. And we have found, we found strange big prints. Of course, you know, we're up there at Salem Cemetery. We're not carrying stuff around. Maybe we should just start taking, you know, like castings of those. And we have found this excrement that we do not know. It's just, you can't, I grew up on a farm around large animals, and I do not know what did this. So we found some really strange things up there and heard some really strange things. And we've seen, like, the branches broken. Like, they try to make those, like, I call them teepees, but they have another word for them. So, and it's a big deserted area.
You know, and I was going to say this real quick, is that, you know, through the years I've been investigating, last year was actually the first time I actually captured a full figure, a shadow figure, on film.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught that at Ohio State Reformatory.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have that on my website and our YouTube page. And for that's up for anybody who wants to review that.
Yeah, right. I saw that. And that was in an area. Was that in an area where you didn't think you'd catch something?
Oh, it was actually in Death Row at Ohio State Reformatory,
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did see that. No, we've never caught anything. We caught something on video once, but it's just so bizarre, and we just had trouble trying to get a copy of it and stuff. It's just a long story, but you just see things. You just see things, you know things, you hear things, and you just know. And then if you want to, you go and try to prove it to other people, and, you know, hopefully somebody will keep an open mind and maybe start thinking about it.
Right.
Okay, we're going to cut out now here for a commercial, and Mike, we're going to do a commercial, and we will be back shortly, everybody.
Excellent.
Have you seen any of the evidence that's been collected from investigations at Bobby Mackey's? Ever wondered if you could have your own experience there? Come out and join NKYPS and Craps as we begin hosting the Saturday night ghost tours at Bobby Mackey's. Ghost tours start at 8 p.m. and run until 1 a.m. One tour will be given per hour, and the tours last approximately 30 minutes. Tickets are only $5, so what have you got to lose? We've all had personal experiences there. Come out and see if you can have some of your own. If you would like to view some of the evidence that we have gathered from there, go to our website at www.nkyps.com. Case number 2 from 2008. Hope to see you there.
A new way to bring the paranormal community together.
Sharing everyone's ideas and sharing ideas with everyone.
Creating a newsletter with submissions.
From all around the world.
Members of all paranormal fields.
Just like you and me.
Whether you're into ghosts and hauntings.
Or an observer of UFO phenomenon.
The White Crow is for you.
The first paranormal newsletter.
For everyone.
Written by everyone.
If you have something to share,
or just want to see what's going on,
come join us in this combined effort.
The White Crow.
The paranormal newsletter.
For everyone.
Written by everyone.
Visit us on MySpace at www.myspace.com/The White Crow for Everyone.
If you're interested in being part of the mailing list, or just to download the newsletter for free, visit us online at www.thewhitecrow.org.
The White Crow, the first paranormal newsletter for everyone, created by everyone.
River City's Paranormal Society. Paranormal investigators that don't suck. Serving the Wisconsin area, RCPS is a member of the TAPS family. Contact us at area code 715-424-3084 or join our paranormal community at rcpswi.com.
Hi, my name is Chris Maggard of Tri-State Paranormal in Northern Kentucky. And have you ever felt like there's something going on in your home, place of business, or you've heard somebody talk about unexplained activity and too afraid to come forward to talk about it? We at Tri-State Paranormal of Northern Kentucky understand, and we will help you figure out if it's paranormal or natural activity going on in your home. And if we do find something paranormal, we will help you learn how to deal with it and how to live with the activity if it's paranormal. We do not charge for our services. We're only here to help you understand the paranormal side of our world. And your privacy is our priority. You can contact us at
Are you experiencing strange noises? Seeing shadows and no one's there? Have an uneasy feeling in your own home? These may be signs of paranormal activity. Cincinnati Area Paranormal Existence Research, CAPER as we're also known as, provides free consultations and investigations. With over 30 years combined experience, CAPER can help you find the answers. For more information, give us a call at 513-407-4242. You are not alone. We can help. To help you learn more about paranormal activity, check us out on the web at caper.pararesearch.org.
Okay, well, welcome back, everyone. Chris, if you want to go ahead and we'll wrap this up for you, because I know you have another commitment coming up here soon. So any final thoughts or websites you want to put out there?
Well, again, I want to stress to everybody that's listening right now, if you get a chance to check out the guy I'm talking about, Mitch Silverstein's website, I don't have it up here again. I wish I could put it back up there. But if you can check him out and see his great experiments that he's coming up with the paranormal field, groundbreaking, very groundbreaking, and amazing.
Okay, Chris, I will make sure that his website is included when I write up the podcast.
Awesome.
Okay.
And if you guys, anybody wants to check out our website and see some of our evidence that we captured, they can go to www.tspnorthernkentucky.com. And also on YouTube, it's TSP Northern Kentucky. And feel free to comment on anything that we have. And we're open to everybody's opinions.
Okay. Well, great. It was a great pleasure having you on here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I know
yeah, and you have to come back and we can talk about theory and just talk. We can just talk about everything.
Oh, I would love to.
Our thoughts and, you know, yeah, that'd be great.
I would love to.
Good enough. Very good. Okay.
All right, well, it was good having you on, and we'll be in touch.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
And good luck on your next show there here in just a couple minutes.
Thank you.
Okay.
You have
a good night.
You guys do too, man. Awesome
okay.
show.
All right. Night.
Night-night.
Okay, so what show was he going to? We should have asked him. So.
Shantown. That is, I think Shannon Sylvia's show. I do believe.
Okay, cool. And
is that right, Mike? You want to talk to me? Mark. Yeah, I believe it is Shannon Sylvia's show.
You can't hear me? Hello?
What?
Mitch was going to be on there with him tonight, right?
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said.
So I'm going to have to flip onto that and save on myself.
Yeah, that sounds like it might be interesting.
Yeah.
Somebody else will listen to.
It's so great to have someone who's been, you know, almost 30 years in the field and still this passionate about things. It's amazing.
Well, it's so rare to have people like that that are actually still doing it because they, you know, believe in
like it.
And they're not out there trying to advertise themselves all over the world and such.
Mm-hmm.
And just like this Mitch Silverstein, who hopefully we're going to get a hold of, I'd like to talk to him too. Because he sounds really smart and he's done a lot of stuff, but, you know, he's underground because he probably doesn't want to deal with not being underground.
Right. Get on that journey.
I will get on that tomorrow. Wait, tomorrow. You see, I keep thinking this is Friday because Kevin does have school tomorrow.
It's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
One more day of work.
Yeah. What, are you coming up for Easter?
I'm going to try. Evan's coming down here, so I don't know what's going on yet.
Well, let me know. Maybe we can roll down there and I bring the kids down or something. And
yeah, I need to cut Kevin's hair, so.
That's one of the things that's got to get done because I attended the other night and, oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
He won't let me touch me. He's like, no! He's like, where's Uncle Mike? I'm like, okay.
Yeah, if I don't come out Sunday, I'll come out one day next week and do it.
Okay.
Up there, so we can talk about what's going on in the show and all that. So, anything else you want to talk about?
So far, so good. No, I don't think so. I'd like to thank everybody. I'm sorry if anybody missed the show because we were an hour early, but we didn't know when we put out the first notice it was going to be that way. But anyway, we will be on the podcast. That'll probably be up tonight or early in the morning if you want to give a listen. And we'd like to thank everybody that supports us and everybody that listens to our shows. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thank Mike and Crystal again for putting up with us for another week.
Yeah, I thank Mike on a daily basis.
You better take that with a grain of salt there, too, Mike, because she don't thank anybody, trust me.
You believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Can you hear me?
No, what?
Yeah, I can hear you laughing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I thought.
No, but earlier. I do appreciate everything he does. He's been a blessing, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good at it. So. Okay, well, everybody, have a good evening, and let's see, next week. Oh, next week we'll be back on at a regular time at 9 o'clock, and we do have Reverend Tim Shaw, which should be a really good show because he can talk about everything. I just love to talk to that man. And I would advise everybody come back and listen to what Reverend Tim has to say. So
yeah,
until then, next week at 9 o'clock.
I will be here next week.
I know, you'll be in Vegas.
No,
right?
I have to work next week.
Oh, you have to work.
Next week, yeah.
Okay. That's okay. Maybe I'll get Sandy or somewhere. I'll do it myself. It's not a biggie.
Reverend Tim can handle it.
Yeah, Tim, you know,
he'll
handle it, actually.
Yeah.
So.
Uh-huh.
He's very cool. So,
okay,
well, thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will see you again next week at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the ASPRN Network. We are Egypt Valley Paranormal Spirit Talk Radio. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to VP Spirit Talk. Visit your hosts, Joni and Mike, at www.EgyptValleyParanormalInvestigations.com. And be sure to come back every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for EVP Spirit Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.